So I'm willing to bet that most of us, if not everyone here today, wouldn't have too much trouble identifying at least one person or incident that has caused us a lot of angst or stress or sleepless nights. Because that's our reality, isn't it? We have disagreements, and from time to time, we fail, we fall out with one another. So bearing that in mind, I guess that says something about our own character. That none of us are as perfect as we like to think we are. After all, didn't Jesus say, "Love each other as I have loved you"? Maybe you're thinking, yeah, nice ideal, but you don't know what I've had to put up with. And fair enough, because the reality is that loving one another is quite often easier said than done. And yet, Jesus commands his disciples to do exactly that, to love one another. Not just to love those who are like us, those who agree with us and think as we do, but also to love even our so-called enemies. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? However, we do have an example to follow, because Jesus has already shown us what that love looks like in practice. And our job is to imitate his example. So what does it mean to love one another in the way that Jesus describes here? Well, to understand it, I think we need to look at a bit of the wider context of what Jesus is saying. These words sit in a passage called the Farewell Discourse. It's Jesus' last words to his disciples before his betrayal and his crucifixion. At the beginning of the chapter, he uses a metaphor of a vine to describe his relationship with his disciples. He tells them in verse 4 that just as the branches of a vine must remain connected to the stem if they're to bear fruit, so his disciples must remain connected to him if they're to live fruitful lives. And his point is this: we cannot love one another in the way he wants us to unless, one, we remain connected to him, and two, we remain in his love. Now, I'm sure you'll agree that love is a universal human characteristic. Wherever you live in the world, whatever religion you follow, parents love their children, husbands love their wives, brothers and sisters love one another, and so on. But there's a particular quality to Christian love, which can only be expressed when we remain connected to Jesus. And that is the ability to love even those who oppose us. You see, it's only when we're connected to Jesus that his love, flows into us. And we are able to love others in the way Jesus calls us to. Why? Because this sort of love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not natural to our human nature. Without the Spirit, it would be impossible to love our enemies. So how do we remain connected to Jesus then? Well, the answer is in verse 10. If you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. You see, he's given an instruction and then he's given his example. And aren't children the most obvious demonstration of this? If we truly love our children, we teach them to do what's right, don't we? And children respond to our love by wanting to do things that please us. Because knowing that we're loved usually leads to wanting to please the one who loves us. And it pleases God when we remain in fellowship with him by obeying his word. We mustn't get that the wrong way round. Jesus does not love us because we obey him or because we're good, because none of us is good, or at least good enough. And none of us is therefore deserving of God's love. Rather, Christ loves us because, well, he just does. He loves us. And a sign that we know that love is that we want to love him back by pleasing him. which we do by obeying his commands. Now Jesus goes on to say in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And when you think about it, that's quite amazing, isn't it? That it was God's free choice to love us even when we did not love him. We are simply the recipients of his choice to love us, and therefore the beneficiaries of his love. But while that loving relationship was initiated by God, if we want to continue to remain in his love, we must obey his commands. Imagine a situation where an orphan child is offered the opportunity of being adopted into a family. The family are loving parents to that child, and the child is given every opportunity to flourish within the family. However, there are conditions for being a member of the family. Certain rules have to be kept that are necessary for the child and the family to flourish. But over time, the orphan starts to take their love for granted and begins to flout more and more of the family's rules, so that eventually he is threatening the well-being of the whole family. And reluctantly, the parents require the child to leave. Not because they haven't stopped loving the child, but because the child has stopped abiding in their love. And that, in a way, is what its life is like with Jesus. If his love is to flow through us, then we must remain in him. And we remain in him by being obedient to his commands. And to do that, we need to understand those commands, which means becoming more and more familiar with his word, the Bible. So if we say we love God and love one another, then it remains obvious that we must remain in Christ. And connected to that is this. When we love one another, we will know what it means to experience another fruit of the Spirit, and that is real and genuine joy. In verse 11, Jesus said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And I think as Christians, there are two types of joy that we experience when we are connected with Jesus. The first is the joy we feel in knowing that we're truly loved and forgiven by God. That when we obey his commands, our eternity is securely placed in his hands. The second is the joy we feel when we've done something for someone else. Have you ever had that feeling that when, after helping someone out, you feel quietly satisfied, knowing that because of you, that their life has been made a little easier? That's because loving service brings joy. And if you've experienced that reality, you'll know how true it is. And for those who don't experience such joy, well, maybe it's because you're expecting to find joy in the wrong place. Not in loving and serving others, but in serving yourself, your own self-interests. So, loving one another enables us to appreciate and experience real joy. Another way, according to Jesus, to show our love for one another is the laying down of our lives. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Actually, I think that's probably one of the most misapplied verses in the Bible. We misapply it because we read into it what we already know, but what the disciples are yet to find out, that Jesus is about to lay down his life for them. We tend to interpret it this way. Jesus has demonstrated and exercised his love for us by his death on the cross. After all, these words were uttered the night before he was betrayed, and he would subsequently go to the cross to purchase their freedom, which would come out at the cost of his own life. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with reading that verse that way. Because on one level, that's absolutely true. But that's probably not how the disciples would have understood it when he said it. You see, it was not just on the cross that Jesus laid down his life. He first laid down his life when, leaving the heavenly realms, he put aside his own glory and majesty and chose instead to be born as a human baby in a poor man's manger. And he continued to put aside his glory as he experienced the ordinary life of a boy in Nazareth. Instead of enjoying the glory of heaven, he learnt a building trade. And then there were the years of his tiring itinerant ministry around Galilee and Judea, characterized by constant criticism and rejection by the religious authorities, and leading to the ultimate rejection and his crucifixion in Jerusalem. And those are many other ways Jesus laid down his life in loving service for us. And I think it's in this way that Jesus wants us to understand this passage. He holds up his own example of selfless service, of laying down his life, to show the full extent of the love that we should show one another. It's the very heart of the passage. It is true that to give one's life to someone else is the ultimate sacrifice. However, what Jesus is calling all of us to do is to give up our claim on our own lives. To sacrifice, if you like, all of our own wants and desires and agendas, which are often selfish anyway and serve only ourselves. And to commit our lives to serving others instead. Showing God's love for others as his Holy Spirit works in and through our lives. Is that difficult? Yes, it is. Is it impossible? No, it's not. With God's help. If we truly desire to follow Jesus, then it is possible. Jesus' command to love one another is exactly that, though. It is a command. It's not our choice to make, because he first chose us. And it's not a request either, because we now belong to God. We are now his servants. It is a command. It is something we have to do if we want to remain in God's love. This is because Christianity isn't just mere religion. It's not just a set of rules that we have to live by if we want to get to heaven. Christianity is, at its heart, a personal relationship of love and of loyalty. First and foremost to the one who's loved us more than we can ever imagine, and then to others. The test for that love of God, which dwells within all of those who claim the name Christian, is that very difficult command to love one another is being lived out in our own lives. But what might that mean in the context of our church life together here at St. Paul's? Well, basically, it would mean that we don't engage in church life on a suit-myself basis. We don't engage in church only when it suits our interests and opinions. We engage in church in a how can I serve others basis? How can I please God in this situation? And yes, as Jesus found out, that can be costly. We might have to give up some of the things we like doing. Maybe even give more time, more money. And some convenience, certainly. But if we want our church life to be characterized by the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here, then that is the price we must be willing to pay. Jesus said, "This is my command, love each other." And it's my prayer that that love is found here at St. Paul's, increasingly more and more evident as we walk in his ways and learn more about him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your example that you've given us, the way Jesus lived his life on this earth. King of kings, Lord of lords, living an ordinary human life, laying aside his majesty and serving his Father's purposes. Lord, it cost him everything. And for that, we are grateful, Lord. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. Help us, Lord, to imitate his love, to remain connected to you through obeying your word, through letting your spirit flow through us and into others as we help and serve them instead of our own interests. Lord, we confess this has been difficult for us in the past, where we have served ourselves. But Lord, with your help, we can know what this means to be a reality in our lives. So please bless us, Lord, as we go forward from this day in love and service of one another.